afternoon. Today is Thursday, June the 19th, 167th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Hey, guy.
Hi.
Do you still go by the title after school's out?
Which title?
Yeah. Well, I know you respond to certain phrases all year long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, dear.
That was actually part of my marriage contract, I think.
Oh, it was. Okay, good. Yeah, you are that kind of contractual kind of guy. So, Fred, the regular guy, is with us, and you brought in another regular guy. What's that all about?
Yes, I did. Another regular guy. We've got Paul Ziegler here today. He is our assistant superintendent of business services in charge of the finances for the district. He's been with Eureka City Schools now for about 3 years, and we are happy to bring him in from the County Office of Education, and prior to that, out of the local banking industry, where he was a long-term
banker. You worked for Eagles for a while?
Yeah, I was there for a couple of years.
Oh, so it was a transition phase in your life.
Indeed.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere with it. That was just a statement. So who would have thunk it? Arcata and Fortuna together in the same room, and they're smiling at the same time.
Well, that's what we call meeting in the middle.
That would be the Eureka part. Okay, fine. So all three of us are here. We'll talk a little bit about some of the different challenges that are out there. Facilities, maintenance is one of them, and then there's that big glowing orb in southwestern Eureka called Jacobs Junior High School. We'll talk about what's going on there or what isn't going on there when we come.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Paul Ziegler from Eureka City Schools. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, man, the page flipped. There it is. It's an anonymous one, though. Unfortunately, it's the one that I shared with the guys, so they already know it. There'll be no ha-ha-ha response on this one. The source is anonymous. Quote, if your ship doesn't come in, swim out to it. Not bad, not bad. Particularly as we're trying to promote physical activity in public schools.
There we go.
You like that one?
Or grit. You could say grit, too. That's one of my favorite words.
I like water over swimming in grits. I just it never caught on for me. The whole scrubby thing just wasn't there. You're going to try to work that in, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm at a loss on that one.
All right. Well, let's talk about grit. And that would be the remnants of what used to be maintenance at Jacobs Junior High School. A lot of grit on that facility right now.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And pampas grass.
Yes.
And all kinds of cool stuff. What is the condition of that facility? I still go back and go, yeah, that's where the chemistry rooms were. That's where this was. I mean, and flashback even before the adult ed stuff was there. What is the condition of the facility, guys? Is it something, if you could knock it down without the asbestos, would it be a parking lot now or a playing field?
I don't know what we would turn it into necessarily, but to be able to take it down and not have it be what it is, which is obviously a husk of its former self, presenting, I think, both safety risks there for the neighborhood and not being something that's helpful.
Now, that wasn't a Trojan saying Husker, was it?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, you don't have to apologize to me, bud.
I'll try to stay away from those.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, it would have been a Trojan saying that, yes.
Okay, good, good. So with a situation that does exist, what can be done with this thing short of throwing $1 million at it towards asbestos abatement and then having $1 million thing that you're going to knock down instead of $100,000 thing?
Well, I think that's really our issue right now, is that it is $1 million project to bring it down, in large part because of the asbestos and the abatement that goes along with it. From our perspective, it's a property that we want to hold on to. I don't know what the long-term plan is necessarily, and there is not anything that's in place, but it would be better leveled and as a bare spot than the condition that it's in right now.
But there is a piece that I want to jump in on that there certainly is a long-term plan for, and that's the soccer fields that are there.
Oh, correct.
And the piece that I want to make sure that doesn't get forgotten is that, we would like the soccer fields to be connected to the Alice Birney campus and that be part of the Alice Birney property as opposed to being considered part of the Jacobs property. And the reason for that is because we want to go in and get those fields back up to prime condition and really playable right now. Because right now you go out there and there's gopher holes all over the place, and it's certainly not a prime condition field that we would like to brag about taking your team out there this weekend and playing on.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to practice your athletic injuries.
That'd be a good way to put it.
So yes. Is that just a lot line adjustment and then being able to take care of it, or does that bring in some of the uglies?
No, not really. It's just basically us calling it part of Alice Birney because we own both pieces. The whole thing is owned public, and we can just basically draw the line pretty much wherever we'd like to draw it.
So why not consider it an off-site athletic facility for elementary school, for junior high, for high school, for the community? I mean, you're saying soccer fields, why not a soccer complex and have four or five fields there? If that's, I guess the sport is going to stick around for a while.
Looks like it has some legs to
it. Yeah. So whether it's for that or softball, baseball, you know, and do something larger scale for like economic development in the area and start hosting tournaments here all the time, whether it's an the AstroTurf or whatever it is with a little rubber inside. I don't know what that's called anymore, but still kind of AstroTurf to me.
Sure.
Right, or real grass, or have a combination and use it as an economic stimulant as well as an opportunity to have your pressures relieved from some of the different athletic desires in the city.
Well, that's something certainly of interest to us, and we've actually been having conversations with the city. We have a group that we've put together that we call the 2+2 group, and it's two city council members and then two Eureka City School Board members along with the city manager and myself, and we sit down and talk about areas.
So you can't count to two plus two?
Well, I guess
the big six. I mean, yeah, that would be. That was my training going through Eureka schools. I don't know what Arcata taught, but
that's because Paul went to Fortuna and I went to Arcata.
Oh, I see. So we're splitting. Yeah, now we're statisticians too.
Once again.
But one of the conversations of that group actually has been exactly what you're talking about. How can we partner to use that facility in some way that is a joint use between the city and the school district? And while the talks on those are very preliminary, there's certainly some interest there from both sides of the house, and that being from the city and from the school district. The question is, how do you go about developing something like that? We have the property.
No, that's my question. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We foreshadowed, we'll deliver when we come back.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Paul Ziegler and Mr. Van Fleck. I don't know why I made the distinction between... I know it's that ugly tie. I just feel so bad for you.
You know what?
God.
My kids gave me this tie. How are you feeling now?
They must be colorblind or just coming in off the field. I just...
It looks great on radio.
Yeah, that's about the best spot. It could. Yeah. So that was a Father's Day tie?
Yes, it actually was. Yeah, and my daughter commented on the way out the house this morning about, wow, I really like your tie.
Oh, yeah.
She did.
Did she?
Honest. You don't feel good now, do you?
No. I'm going to make a comment, but I think I'm going to save it for the break. Something about your genes overriding her mom's genes. Guys, what we're looking at, considering, contemplating the Jacobs facility, junior high building, I don't know what you guys refer to it as, because it's certainly more than just the building. It's the parking lot. It's the fields and stuff. If the build-out went 100% the way that you wanted it to, big picture, big big dream. What's the dollar sign on that?
Well, you know, it really depends on what the vision is for the build-out because, you know, realistically, there's a couple things that could happen over there, and I'm going to probably go in a direction you didn't anticipate me going in. And what that is, if you look at the population of the city of Eureka, it's been pretty static since the 70s. And if you look at the population of Eureka City Schools, it certainly has not been static. In fact, we're about 50% of what we were at our peak. And so the big question remains as we project forward on what to do with the Jacobs property is what's the population of the city of Eureka going to do right now? Because we have a veteran population, how's that one, of the city.
Mature, and I think, is probably better. A gritty population.
There you go. And so over time, is that population, is it going to change? Are we still going to be a mature population? Because if the population change, and I think that's going to be tied directly to whatever industry does up here, if that population change, we're going to need buildings to put students in. Now, if that population...
Dorms?
No, actual school sites to put students in.
Oh,
yes.
Schools.
Yeah. For instance.
Okay. Now building schools. Okay.
We tear down Jacobs. We just tore down at our peak population a building that we had students in. If the population, younger population returns to the area through economic growth, we would need a place to put students. We have no short-term anticipation of that population returning tomorrow by any means. In fact, we've had a downturn in enrollment for as long as anyone can remember over the past 20 plus years. And this year was the first time that we had an uptick in enrollment in over 20 years, and we're looking to maintain that uptick in enrollment for next year.
So, Paul, with that as a backdrop, are you guys looking at a complex that would have an undeveloped area that could future have a structure on it, or would you be looking at building a structure that could be converted over time if was needed and maybe have a series of larger than normal office building or office suites or something like that that could be kicked into a different use with a 6-month lead time?
At this point, we would just really be looking at bringing the building down, the demolition there. And as Fred says, no short-term plan that goes along with that. So it would be basically undeveloped until we had a better sense of how do we want to utilize the space that's there.
So another parking lot could work because they could get jackhammered out pretty quickly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the interesting thing with that is, for a time there, when things were extremely tight for us as a school district over the past few years, the board was really considering the sale of the property. And we're happy to report that believe that the economy of California is turning to a nature where we're not in as critical of a shortage. We're still in a shortage, and we still have a deficit spending issue in the district, but it's not catastrophic at this point.
You don't want to mothball it, though, and just have it sitting there fallow. I mean, I would think that would drive a lot of guys batty, just seeing, mow the field, nobody plays on the field.
Mothball the building or mothball
the facility?
Just
have it there. So you do want to bring it into form or another.
If you were to rewind 15 years, we would have done a better job of putting a envelope around that building or a package around that building, whatever you want to call it, making sure that it was sealed so we didn't lose the building. I can't second guess what happened 15 years ago. Neither of us were here at that point. The question is, what do we do with it now? Because we're at a point now where the building's too far gone. It can't be modernized. There's too much damage to the building, and it has to come down. So there is no way to mothball the building. The only thing that could potentially be mothballed is the piece of property.
And we've looked at, for instance, the gym. That was one of the hopes was perhaps we can at least save that particular piece.
Or the showers. Yeah.
Well,
the gym was sucked when it was being used. You know that.
But I mean, most of us around here remember Hoopsters long ago.
And as old guys, the short court is very desirable.
There you go. But even that piece is too far gone to really be habilitated at this point.
Could you? I guess we'll take a break and then I got a weird idea. KINS, Big Stunner. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Paul and Fred.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the guys from Eureka City Schools, Paul Ziegler, who's the VP of Business Services, and Fred Van Fleck, the guy that signs his check. Is that kind of...
Well, not really, but...
Well, sure. You're not letting him sign his own check, do you?
No.
Okay, good.
Secret's out.
Yeah.
I was actually meaning to talk to him about that. I just thinking about stopping signing a voluntary service.
Yeah. The concept of tackling Jacobs, whatever condition it's in, certainly has been daunting. Otherwise, it would have been taken care of some time ago. Paul, before the break, you were talking about the gym. And one of the things that I've always found intriguing that seems to be an overlooked opportunity, there are still a number of folks our ages and a little bit younger who went to Jacobs. Hmm. Okay. You mentioned how the gym is gone, pretty much. Of taking the floorboards, 6-inch pieces, mount it up, do something, and sell them. As a fund, you know, $50 goes towards and those types of little opportunities before the whole thing gets boom and knocked down. To do that, because I think even though I was a Zane guy, Jacob still is part of a lot of our memories of going to school around here. And when it goes, it's obviously gone and won't come back. Ways to recapture and to tap into some of that stuff. And it may not be big money, but it might help the music program at some school or do something a little bit different somewhere else or a nice little something on that facility. When a building comes down, do you have those opportunities? Or you just go in with a little bit of dynamite and some power drills and jackhammers and the guys go to town and it just disappears and goes off to wherever the parts go to. And you hope to have raw dirt at the end of it.
Big machines to take it down. It's an interesting idea. I had not considered that. But I think that if we're in the process of saying it's coming down anyway, and we thought there was an angle, a possibility of recouping something from the materials that were there, absolutely would take a look at that. Whether your idea floats or not, I don't have any idea.
I know. It's grains of salt and grit when you reflect on those.
The interesting piece of the way that it works on a demolition actually is a contractor, your idea aside, because that's a unique idea and different than what a contractor would look at, but when a contractor comes in and actually bids on a project, they look at what is salvageable on the property. So as soon as they close a bid on a demolition of a property, you lose all your rights as a school district to anything that's in there because they lay claim to that as part of the demolition process.
So like copper...
Exactly.
Tubing and things like
exactly.
that. So you'd have to go in before
the bid process.
Up front.
Yep.
You don't call it harvesting?
Call it whatever you want.
Well, I would say actually a lot of the copper...
Boy, is he easy pickings. I mean, I got him rocking back on two or three things here.
You'll like this one, though, but much of the copper has already been harvested, not by us.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. The neighborhood at in general, took advantage of some
opportunities. We actually had somebody in there, about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Came in and live, and I think it was even 440 or something like that. I know it was at least 220, but
pulled wire,
live, cut it, and pulled wire. Yep.
You still have juice going into there?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, did? Okay.
Yeah, and we actually have juice going into part of it now.
Keep the heaters.
Alarms.
So it's not...
Alarms.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably a reflection of the times also.
Right.
So what $1 million, I've not heard that there's $1 million slush fund sitting around for anything. So how do you finance a project like this? Not only the knockdown part, but whatever the build-up part is. I mean, you want to be able to take advantage of the opportunity. Where do you go? Is this a reason why bonding is available?
Well, I'll just say that there is no slush fund. Thank you for pointing that out. And it's really not anything we can do out of our ongoing operations. And we can go through the numbers, but I think Fred alluded earlier, we're already spending more than we're bringing in. So to add an additional burden there would not be the way that we want to go. So it really does come down to we need a longer-term source of funding, whether that be a bond or some other mechanism that the state might introduce. Nothing on the horizon there, unfortunately. That's the way that would have to be done.
You can't rely on increased government largesse because the economy is doing whatever the economy is doing to backfill either old dollars that are owing or additional dollars for future use, because I wouldn't think this kind of thing would be on the checklist that they would be wanting to fund.
Lots of conversation about whether the state will in fact float a facilities bond in the near future. Of course, we're hoping that that would happen from a matching fund standpoint, but unfortunately there's nothing that is suggesting itself right now.
Let me just jump in there for 1 second, because that's actually an interesting point. Everyone has heard that the economy in California is improving. It's been at a snail's pace, but it has been improving. And so one of the things that's happened to education is they've come out with this new local control funding formula. And there's a lot of talk about increasing dollars coming to education. And when economy improves, that's what happens. Remember, education is about 40% of the state budget. And so if you have improved economy, it's a direct pipeline into education. However, as we look at this new local control funding formula, which is regulated on the local level by the local control accountability plan, it's very stringent about what we need to do with those new dollars specifically toward student achievement. And so it doesn't leave a lot of space.
This one wouldn't qualify.
There you go. Yep. Yep.
And you couldn't even do it for HROP, could you?
No. Actually, you could do an ROP, Career Technical Education Program. You can spend money in that direction.
But would you want to have the kids involved in teardown?
You're talking about the actual teardown? No, that wouldn't work.
But apparently you had a different idea, so go forth.
Yes. Well, which one was that?
I don't know. All right, fine. He's going to clam up all of a sudden. KINS News and not all of a sudden. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Vleck and Paul Ziegler.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Paul Ziegler and Fred Van Vleck. Guys, the concept of I guess, eliminating blight has got to be something very attractive. Using that facility positively has got to be very attractive also. The funding of this thing, though, has got to be a little staggering or sobering. What are the options that are out there? Paul, are there some remediation funds that the state has that may not be educational related, but may just be asbestos related? Does FEMA have any dollars or anything like that? Are there some of those non-traditional funding sources that could then be matched out?
There's such a long line of people waiting to get those kind of funds that I don't see us coming up with those kind of fundings in our lifetime. So
is bonding the only way, or a lot of cake sales?
Well, I would say there's a prong approach that we need to look at when we go out and we look at the funding piece of the Jacobs campus specifically. And that multiple prong approach is coming up with some local dollars and then figuring out how we can reach out to Sacramento and other areas and find a way to create a match for those dollars so we can maximize the leverage of every dollar that comes out of the local area here. And Paul alluded to a little bit earlier about a potential state bond on the ballot. We're very interested in pursuing any types of state dollars for matches, not only for the Jacobs project, but also for other modernization projects around the district. A good example of that is we're actually in line right now for a 3-classroom addition on the Alice Birney campus, where the state is going to provide 60% of the funding funding if we come up with 40% of the funding. So that's a little over $1 million project. So the state's going to come in with their $600,000. We'll come up with our $400,000, which we don't have a good mechanism for right now, but come up with our $400,000 and we'll get a $1 million plus project done. And so anytime that we can leverage and get 60 cents for 40 cents, that's a pretty good deal for the local taxpayers.
The bond that you guys are referencing, is that on the fall ballot, or is this down the road, comma, is Jacobs going to be addressed in the next couple of months, next couple of years, by the end of the decade? Is it going to fall down and then have to be taken care of? I mean, you know, what timeline are you looking at for that structure if you're waiting for outside funding sources like that that the state would have to help provide?
So we've had about, I would say, three or four conversations in open public meetings now with the board about a potential bond on the November ballot. The board has not actually voted on the resolution and won't until July 30th on whether or not to place a bond on that November 14 ballot. By all indications and how the conversations have been going in the open meetings, I think that they'll probably vote in support of putting a bond on the ballot. So with that being the case, and if the bond does pass, one of the high priorities would be addressing the Jacobs campus, along with other things like career technical education, focusing on modernizing some of those buildings that involve those on the Eureka campus, and also really looking at the safety factor of trying to get our bus drop-off and student drop-off separated at our elementary campuses.
Paul, if it's $1 million for this, I would imagine you're not going to go for $1.5 million. You probably have a couple. Say it's $5 million. I mean, something that might not have the shock and awe that some of the other ones have been. What do those numbers look like on the payout? Do you have any idea? Is it a couple bucks a month per household? Is it more significant than that? Because I would think if it's kind of focused and earmarked and we see it and it's not like the last one, 40 years for 30-year facilities, palatable, maybe almost doable?
I think from the average property owner's perspective, it would not be something that would make a significant impact on your tax rolls. The larger your property base, the more impact there would be. But I think it's a relatively, easy for me to say, a relatively minor impact for folks.
And so, and I'll give you the exact. The maximum that we could go is $60 per 100,000 of assessed value. And so what that means is assessed value regulated by Prop 13. So if you've been in your house for 30 years and the assessed value of your house is $100,000 or less, which many people that have been in a house in Eureka for 30 plus years, you're looking at $60 on the maximum size per year.
So I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about this if it comes to fruition down the road.
Certainly.
All righty, guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Enjoy summer.
Absolutely.
Really like those Bermuda shorts.
And a tie. It looks funny.
Yeah. Well, you know,
great combo.
Fashion statement. It's Fred. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone else. See you tomorrow.